Open your Bibles now to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Today I'm beginning a new series on hope. Today we're going to talk about, is there any hope for my broken heart? 1 week from today I'm going to talk about, is there any hope when I've messed up? So if you've never messed up, you're excused next Sunday. And then in 2 weeks I'll be talking about, is there any hope when I'm afraid? Then we're going to talk about, is there any hope when I feel like quitting? I just want to give up. And then the last message in this series, is there any hope for my fractured family? Today we'll talk about, is there any hope for my broken heart? The one thing that people are looking for today in our world is hope. And that's the thing that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer in abundance, hope in Jesus Christ. Not only do people want to know, do I have hope for the rest of my life? They also want to know, do I have hope after I die? I read a funny story about a businessman from Chicago who went to Florida on a vacation. His wife was going to join him a day later, but she was delayed. And so when he arrived down in Florida at the hotel, he wanted to email his wife back in Chicago and let her know he had arrived safely. But he had forgotten her email address because he had it in his address book and didn't have it memorized. So the best he could, he put in what he thought was his wife's email address, but he missed it by one letter. And so instead of his wife getting the email, that email was sent unknowingly to an elderly preacher's wife whose husband had just died a couple of days before. And so when she checked her email and she got that email, she screamed and fainted because this is what it said. Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband. And then it said, P.S., sure is hot down here. Don't you know if you could get a message from beyond the grave from somebody who had already died and they could communicate back with you, you'd pay attention to it. Well, that's exactly what we have with Jesus Christ. Because he was crucified, he was buried, and 3 days later, he came back from the grave and he has a message of hope for us today. Now, the text I've chosen today is an occurrence that happened on the first Easter Sunday morning. The two disciples in this story were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which was 7 miles away. And as they're walking along, their hearts have been broken. They are discouraged. They've lost all hope. But as they walk along, they're joined by a stranger. And they don't recognize it yet, but this is Jesus. Why did they not recognize him? Because 3 days earlier, they had seen him crucified and brutally executed. And you don't expect to see dead men walking. And so as they're walking along there, Jesus joins them. And he asked them a question. He says, what are you talking about? And let's pick up the text here in Luke 24, verse 19. Luke 24, 19. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Then look at verse 21. But we had hoped. Look at those three words. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, because it was Easter, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Well, they walked on a little bit further. Jesus begins to talk to them, and he takes the Old Testament and teaches them all the way from Genesis to Malachi. It's all about the Messiah and how he had to die. Well, they came to their house in Emmaus, and it was supper time, so they said to the stranger, hey, come on in and have supper with us. Well, when Jesus went in, he took the bread, and when he broke it and blessed it, started talking to God, boom, they recognized that he was Jesus. And then, poof, Jesus vanished. Now let's pick up with verse 32. This is what happened. Verse 32, they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, that means the 12 disciples minus Judas, and those with them assembled there together and saying, it's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And what we have in this passage of Scripture is we have two disciples who were discouraged, who were despondent, who were walking on the road to despair, and suddenly when they encountered Jesus on Easter, their despair was turned to joy. Their hopelessness was replaced by hope. They had an Easter encounter with Jesus. And you know what, my friend? You can have an encounter with the living Lord today on Easter. You know, He's here right now in the person of His Holy Spirit. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in My name, He said, there am I in the midst. And we've had several thousand gathered here this morning in His name, and so He's right here. I promise you, Jesus is here. You can encounter Him. It's like outside this morning. I want you to know the sun is shining brightly outside. I promise you, but you may not be able to see the sun because of the clouds, right? But the sun is shining as brightly as ever. In the same way, Jesus is here right now. And if you can't perceive His presence, it could be because there are clouds of doubt and unbelief in your own heart. And so if you're looking for hope, you can have a personal encounter with Him today. In this passage of Scripture, I want us to extract two observations and one application for your life. Observation number one, life is full of heartbreaking experiences. There in your worship book, there's an outline. If you can find it and pull it out and fill it out if you like. Life is full of heartbreaking experiences. In verse 17, this is what it says about these two disciples. They stood still, their faces downcast. In other words, they were saddened. Their hearts had been broken. And it could be, I'm talking to some people today, that you're going through a time of a broken heart. You've had a lot of disappointment in your life. There's been difficulties in your life, and you're feeling hopeless right now. And, you know, I like all kinds of music, and one of my favorite groups from the 60s were the Temptations. And Jimmy Ruffin with the Temptations sang a song, and some of you will remember it. It was entitled, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted? If you remember that song, this is what he's saying. As I walk this land with broken dreams. Is that what this land is, broken dreams? That's right. I have visions of many things. Love's happiness is just an illusion filled with sadness and confusion. Then he asked that question, what becomes of the brokenhearted? Who had love that's now departed? I know I've got to find some kind of peace of mind. And then I always thought he was saying, baby. But what he's really saying is, maybe. You know what? For people that are looking for peace of mind, maybe they'll find it. Or maybe they won't. It all depends on where they're looking for peace of mind. And these two disciples had lost their peace of mind. Their hearts were broken. And the Bible says life is full of heartbreaking experiences. You know, I started putting together a list of things this week. Things that can cause a broken heart. It's a pretty short list of things that can cause a broken heart. I thought I would read it for you right now. No, if I started just reading a list of things that would cause you to have a broken heart, we would be here through tonight. Because there are as many things that can cause a broken heart as there are different people here in this room today. The Bible says that life is going to be full of sorrow and trouble. No matter how old you live, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 90, these words, the length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. That's what the Bible says. Life is just going to be full of sorrow and heartache. So that's all I'm going to say about this right now. You know why? Because I don't think I have to convince you anymore. Life is full of heartbreaking experiences. Let's move on toward the answer, though. What's the second observation? Number two, a broken heart can destroy your hope. That's what a broken heart does. It makes you lose hope. Look again at what these disciples said in verse 21. We had hoped that He was the one. Have you ever said that? Has there something occurred in your life that disappointed you, or maybe something didn't happen that you hoped would happen? And you've come to a place where you say, you know what, I had hoped things would be different. This is what the Bible says about hope that doesn't ever get accomplished. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I mean, it breaks your heart. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. It could be that you're here today and you're saying those same words, or at least you're thinking them. I had hoped things would be different. It could be that you're a single adult here today and you had always hoped that you'd be married, but it hasn't happened. Or maybe you're divorced and there was a time in your life when you honestly said, I had hoped that I could stay married to my spouse, but it didn't happen. Or maybe your spouse has died and there was a time when you said, you know, I had hoped that my mate and I could live for a long time together, but it hadn't happened. Or you're a teenager that I had hoped that I could get into this college, or I had hoped I would get on the cheerleading squad. I'd hoped I made this team. I'd hoped I could go to this college. So many hopes and dreams that are dashed. And when that happens, your heart is broken. Those are pretty scary words, I had hoped. As I was preparing this message, it came to my mind about something that happened in my own life many years ago. When I was in my late 20s, my father was dying of cancer. He had renal cancer that metastasized into his lung and into his brain. And I was visiting him in the hospital in Mobile, Alabama. And it was a time when he and I both realized that outside a miracle of God, he was going to die. And instead of us just having small talk that day, he was trying to tell me something I could tell that was important to him. And he used those very words. He said, David, I had hoped. He said, you know, I had hoped that when I retired, that your mother and I could travel some. I was in my late 20s. My dad was in his mid-50s. And my dad was always a hard worker. We never took many family vacations. You know what family vacation was? It was 1 week with the relatives in the summertime. That was our vacation. But he said, son, I had hoped that when I retired, your mother and I would travel some. And then my dad said, you know what? I made a miscalculation. And he said, son, let me just tell you, don't make the same mistake I made. He said, don't you ever be afraid to spend money on your family making memories. You know what my dad was saying? He was saying, you know, don't put off, don't delay your hopes and dreams. If you can have them fulfilled and you can do something about them, don't wait. He had hope deferred and it made his heart sick. And it could be that you're here today and maybe you have some hopes and dreams that you're just kind of waiting to see if they'll happen. Don't wait. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only source of hope for us. You know what hopelessness is? Hopelessness makes you put your face in your hands and say, you know what? Things won't work out. It's just not going to work out. And that's a terrible feeling. We've all had it before. But let me tell you what hope is. Hope is the feeling that feeling of despair you have is not going to last forever. And so we've noticed a couple of things. First of all, life full of heartbreaking experiences. We all agree that. And your broken heart will cause you to lose hope. Well, now let's go on to the answer. And this is the final and the main thing I want to share with you this morning. Number three, Jesus can restore your hope. He can restore your hope. Look at verse 32. These two disciples said, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road? You know, people today are looking for hope. These two disciples had lost their hope, but when Jesus came along and began to teach them and they realized who he was, suddenly their hope was restored. Instead of having saddened heart, their hearts were ignited with excitement and hope. What's the condition of your heart today? I mean, is your heart burning with excitement about the future? Or is your heart just cold and indifferent? You know, I like to watch old movies and some not so old. And usually if the Hollywood critics liked a movie, I don't like it. And if they didn't like a movie, guess what? I usually like it. For instance, one of them was a movie that was starring Kevin Costner in 1997 called The Postman. I mean, the Hollywood critics said it was the worst movie ever made. I kind of liked it. I watched it not too long ago as I was beginning to think about hope. And I thought, you know what? It's a movie about hope. If you've seen it or know anything about it, Kevin Costner plays this guy in a future world where there's been war that kind of devastated the infrastructure of America. And he stumbles on an old postage van and an old postman who's nothing but a skeleton, so he borrows his postal uniform and takes the bag full of old letters and walks into a village and claims to be the new postman. And he says that the restored United States of America is functioning again, and that the president in Minneapolis is Richard Starkey. For all you trivia folks, that's Ringo Starr's real name. He said that the president in Minneapolis has got a message for Americans, and this is the president's message. Stuff's getting better. That's exactly what he said. Stuff's getting better. Now, he was just an imposter. But you know what? He started giving people hope. He was just doing it to try to get some food. But suddenly, people started having hope. There was a blind woman who, when she heard a letter read from her sister, she had hope to know that her sister was alive. There was this tough kid in the movie called Ford Lincoln Mercury. That was his name. Who was wandering aimlessly, and the postman gave him a reason to live, and he enlisted other postmen. Well, you know, I won't spoil it if you hadn't seen it, but it ends up pretty good. But there's one section in the movie, one scene in the movie, where Kevin Costner is being talked to by Abby, and who's played by Olivia Williams, and she says something powerful about hope. Here's 30 seconds of the movie.
You have a gift, postman. I saw it back in Pine View. You've given us all back what we'd forgotten. You made Mrs. March feel like she could see again. You made Ford feel like he was part of the world. You give out hope like it was candy in your pocket.
You know, when I saw that, I said, wow. That's what Jesus does. Jesus gives out hope like it was candy in his pocket. I mean, wherever Jesus went, he passed out hope. I mean, he found a demon-possessed man who was just filled with all of these ugly appetites, and he gave him hope. He delivered him. He found a woman who had an issue of blood, and nobody else had been able to heal her, and he touched her, and he handed out hope to her. He even went to a cemetery where a guy had been dead for 4 days, and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he gave them hope. You see, that's what Jesus does. He is the one who can restore hope. I mean, don't put your faith in Kevin Costner or the postman, but put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because if you've had a broken heart or you have a broken heart, he has promised that he can heal it. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus said this, He, that is God the Father, has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And my friend, if your heart has been broken, he can heal it if you give him all the pieces of your broken heart. I mean, people are looking for hope today. At the end of World War II, there was a damaged submarine that was limping into the shipyard at Newport News, Virginia. And just as it entered the harbor, the ballast system malfunctioned and this submarine sank. And that's usually not bad for a submarine, but this submarine did not have the ability to surface again. And so sitting on the bottom of the harbor, the Navy sent out a search and rescue team of divers, and they dove down to this submarine. And as these divers approached the submarine, they could hear a metallic tapping. Tap, tap, tap. Some sailor inside the submarine had taken a hammer or some wrench, and he was tapping in Morse code. And this is what he was tapping. He was saying, is there any hope? Is there any hope? And that story had a good ending because those sailors were rescued. But when I read that story, I think, you know what, that's what everybody in Tyler, Texas, that's what everybody in East Texas, that's what everybody in America is asking, is there any hope for me? And folks, the good news is, yes, Jesus Christ is the source of hope. That's why it's never been a better time to be a part of a church. It's never been a better time in history to be a Christian, because the one thing we have, hope, is the one thing that this old world desperately needs. You can't get hope from the boats in Shreveport. You can't get hope from the single bars. You can't get hope from the ball games. But you can get hope from Jesus Christ. And that's what this is all about today. So you're saying, well, what is hope? I want to give you a good acrostic for hope and tell you a little story behind it. Several years ago when I was on one of our trips to China, I was speaking in the university there in an English class. And many of the students who can speak English in China, they have, of course, their Chinese name, but they've also been given an English name. And I was talking with one girl after class, and she said that her English name was Hope. And she asked me two things. She said, number one, do you have a Bible that I could have? And I happened to have a Chinese-English Bible that I gave to her as a gift. And then she said, "My English name is Hope. Can you tell me what that word means?" Boy, it's dangerous to ask a preacher that question, isn't it? And you know, I don't know that I'd ever read it or heard it before. I think the Lord just gave it to me at that moment. I said, "I'll tell you what hope means. H-O-P-E stands for having only positive expectations." And I just remember her eyes lit up. Having only positive expectations. Would you say that out loud with me, everybody? This is what hope is. Say it with me. Having only positive expectations. I'm happy to report that that young lady now has graduated from college, and she is a vibrant, dynamic Christian. She came over here to study at UT Tyler, was baptized, and now she's winning her other Chinese friends to Jesus Christ. She is not only living hope, she is sharing hope. You see, folks, in the English language, the word hope means maybe. For instance, I hope I get a raise. You're not real sure. I hope I make an A on this test. You're not really sure. I hope the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl. We're really not too sure about that. But in the Bible, the word hope means certainty, having only positive expectations. You say, "Okay, I need some of that hope. How can I get it?" Well, as I finish, let me just give you three things that you can do, like these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, so you can find hope for your broken heart. Is there hope for my broken heart? Number one, yes, if you'll walk with Him. If you'll walk with Him. That's what they did. They were walking on the road to Emmaus with Him. Now, let me just tell you, in the Bible, the phrase walking also speaks of a personal relationship. It's not just a physical activity, a way to get around. It means a personal relationship. The Bible says, for instance, that Enoch walked with God. I mean, God really didn't have legs, and He doesn't have to get from point A to point B. He's everywhere, but He will walk with you, and you can walk with Him if you want to have a personal relationship with Him. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, folks, every day when you go out into the world, you're on a certain pathway. And the devil wants to get you off that pathway and lead you into temptation. That's why we are taught to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." But if you will try to walk on the pathway that God has for you, your life will be full of blessings. Your life will be full of joy. In fact, the Bible says, here's a promise, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. God says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you say, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" He said, "Man, I wish I could hear that voice every day." Well, if you're walking with God, He will tell you, "This is the way, walk in it." But you know, the problem with some of us is that we don't really consider the Lord as a constant companion. Instead, we sort of put the Lord away and just bring Him out on Sunday morning for an hour, or we sort of put Him behind or out of sight, out of mind, and we don't really call on Him until we have a problem. I know this is a crude illustration, but there are some Christians who they treat the Lord like the spare tire in the trunk of your car. You know it's there and you know it's available, but you're not ever going to use it unless you have trouble, unless you have a blowout. And there are some people that the only time they call on the Lord is when they have some kind of personal or emotional blowout. My friend, it's important for you to walk with the Lord 24/7. Be aware of His presence when you wake up in the morning. Be aware of the presence of the Lord as you go to work, you go to school. Be aware of the presence of the Lord when you have lunch, when you eat supper, when you go to bed at night. Constantly be aware of His presence. That's what it means to walk with Him. Here's the second thing. Is there hope for my broken heart? Yes. If you will listen to Him. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, these two disciples, they were walking along, but they were also listening to what Jesus had to say. He was trying to teach them something. Folks, God is still talking today in 2005. He is trying to communicate to you and to communicate with me. The only problem is sometimes we fill our ears with so much white noise and so much static and so much junk that we don't get still and quiet enough to hear that still small voice. You know, prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. Prayer is not where you say, "Okay, God, this is what I want." It's talking to God and listening to God. But our biggest problem is being able to recognize God's voice, to hear His voice. By the way, I'll put in a plug. That's exactly why I invited Henry Blackaby to be right here in this room April 22nd and 23rd to teach us about how to hear God's voice. It's open for anybody that wants to come and learn more about how you can listen to the voice of God. You see, I'm talking about the kind of relationship with God where you just walk with Him and talk with Him. By the way, that was God's original intent. When He created Adam and Eve in the garden in paradise, the Bible says in Genesis that in the cool of the evening, the Lord would walk with them and talk with them. But when they sinned, that disrupted that relationship. Could I just tell you, that's what salvation is? Paradise restored so that once again, we can walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord. That's why one of my favorite hymns is that old great hymn written by Austin Miles that says this. Maybe you recognize it. He speaks, and the sound of His name is so sweet the birds hush their singing. And the melody that He brings to me within my heart is ringing. And if you know it, sing it with me. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Folks, you can have that kind of daily joy as you walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord on a daily basis. You want to have hope? Walk with Him. You want to have hope? Listen to Him. And then finally, is there hope for my broken heart? Yes, if you'll see Him for who He really is. See Him for who He really is. You see, these two disciples didn't recognize Jesus to begin with, but when He started breaking the bread and blessing it, boom, their eyes were opened. His appearance didn't change. Their perception of Him changed. And they said, it's the Lord. He's alive. Let me just ask you today, how do you see Jesus? I mean, if I were to pass out a blank sheet of paper to all of you and say, okay, we're going to have a pop quiz, one question. Who is Jesus Christ to you? What would be your first sentence? Would you say Jesus Christ was a character who lived 2,000 years ago in Israel who performed miracles? You could even say He died on a cross. You could even say He was buried and resurrected. Is that what you would say? That would not be incorrect, but it would not be totally correct. Because if all you ever talk about is Jesus as a historical religious character, you're not seeing Him as you ought to see Him. Because you ought to see Him as someone who is real and alive today, someone that you can walk with and someone you can talk with. In other words, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us hope. Look at what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a, look at this word, living hope through the resurrection. That's where we get hope. Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, as wonderful as the crucifixion of Jesus is, there were thousands of criminals who were executed by crucifixion. But the thing that makes the death of Jesus Christ totally unique in all of history was the resurrection. And my friend, I challenge you to examine the authenticity of the story of Jesus. Go ahead and visit the tombs of all the other religious leaders. Go to Medina and see where Muhammad is buried. Go to an island in the Indian Ocean and see where the remains of Buddha are found. But you go and you try to find any sign of the corpse of Jesus Christ and you will not find it. He is not dead. He is alive. And it is the resurrection that gives us hope. You know, hope makes all the difference. And if you're living without hope, I feel sorry for you. But my friend, if you're living with just a little bit of hope in Jesus Christ, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. 2 weeks ago, on March the 12th, a young girl in Atlanta, Georgia, experienced, I suppose, what is the fear of every female as she's outside her apartment in the middle of the night. A man comes up and stabs her in the ribs with a gun. Brian Nichols escaped allegedly having killed several other people. Her name was Ashley Smith. And over the next 7 hours, Ashley Smith spent winning the trust of Brian Nichols. You know the story now, perhaps. What she talked about most of the time was about God. She told him that she had a little 5-year-old daughter and that her husband had been stabbed to death and killed a few months before. And she said to Brian Nichols, "If you kill me, my little girl won't have a mommy and she won't have a daddy." And she began to talk to him. She said, "Could I read something?" He said, "Sure." Ashley Smith was a young lady who's trying to get her life on track. And she had been reading Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and she took it in her Bible and she read a section of it. And when she read it, Brian Nichols said, "Read that to me again." She read it again. And she could almost see, as he was transformed into someone who was going to kill her, and to the point where she knew that he was going to release her. The next morning, she said, "You know, I really need to go pick up my little daughter at Awana at a Baptist church." He said, "Go ahead." He let her go, and of course, she called 911. The police surrounded her apartment, and Brian Nichols surrendered with no resistance. You know, I got to admit to you something that may surprise some of you. I admire Ashley Smith because she's not this super saint who's got it all together. She's not like some of you that I love and admire who are, you know, great Proverbs 31 women who teach BSF and who teach Bible study and who lead prayer groups for women. God bless you. This is a woman who has a life of heartache and trouble. She's been in alcohol and drug rehab. She's had to give up temporary custody of her little daughter. She was going out in the middle of the night to buy cigarettes. But yet here is a woman who had a little glimmer of hope that in Jesus Christ her life could be better. And that's what she talked about to Brian Nichols' hope. In recounting the ordeal, this is what she said in her own words. "He needed hope for his life. He said to me, 'Look at me, look at my eyes, I'm already dead.' And I said, 'You are not dead, you are standing right in front of me.' After I started to read to him, he saw my faith and what I really believed in. I told him that I was a child of God and that I wanted to do God's will. I guess he began to want to also." Then she says, "I believe God brought him to my door so he wouldn't hurt anyone else." My friend, I hope to God and I pray that you never have to have an encounter like that. But my question for you on this Easter Sunday is this: do you possess the kind of hope that if it happens, that hope will be the basis for your deliverance? You say, "Oh, hope is just positive thinking, isn't it?" No. "Hope is just optimism." No, not at all. You see, an optimist sees the glass as half full. A pessimist sees the glass as half empty. But a person with hope is someone who sees that the glass is firmly held in the hand of God. And my friend, you do not have to be afraid of what your future holds as long as you know who holds your future. And so on this Easter Sunday, would you stand with me right now? And would you make with me out loud a profession of hope? We've already sung these words, but would you just repeat them after me? But say it enthusiastically as a profession of hope. "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds my future. And life is worth the living. Just because He lives." Hang on to that hope.